So you say...
Blog Talk Radio.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's...
It's just us. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie Time. No, Eerie Time? Sure, why not? Eerie Time. Eerie House, Oldie Timey Radio. I'm Dale Kay, the Fumble Mouth one from Spook Show. Here along with...
Don't get out of the way. Yeah, Dave Minkley from Witness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One.
That's right. And here with us is like no one at the moment. Possibly CW on the way a little bit later. Gar still has zilch of a voice and sends his regards as always. And as you know, he runs the first time repeats on Saturday if he's not available tomorrow to do his live show on Audible Horror.
Yeah. Yep.
But the guy, Dave and I were talking, the guy is trying to keep his spirits up. And I mean, he really is a Superman.
He is a Superman.
Yes.
And he wears Clark Kent glasses to go with it.
Yes. You know, it occurred to me, Clark Kent is the disguise. Superman isn't the disguise. You know, it's like the opposite of Spider-Man. Peter Parker's like the real dude. Spider-Man is a persona, where Superman, he's pretty much like he was from his home planet, and Clark Kent is the disguise. Interesting. Yep.
Absolutely.
Good old Bob and Fogs Bean joining us in the chat along with the lovely and delightful CW. And tonight we're going to do the first five parts of a serial. What? This is about 2 weeks of shows, right?
Well, it was on Monday through Friday, so it was
about a
week and a half. Yeah. Week and a half.
Yeah, of shows, we're going to compress it into one weekend, gang, with all eight parts of Adventures of Superman. This one tonight's called The Ghost Car, and tonight you'll get episodes 1 through 5, and we'll wrap it up with 6 through 8 tomorrow night.
Hey, you said there would be no math.
I worked it out on my fingers. Fortunately, I haven't lost too many of them. Or from the backwoods of, like, West Virginia, then maybe there'd be another digit reason there's a problem with the number of digits, but I digress. Oh, jeez. That's how I weaseled out of that math question.
I'm trying to pull up these other episodes to see if it was indeed 1 day, 5 days a week, and if it wasn't, then it went on for like 3 weeks. But let me, where are you?
Could it possibly have been 4 days a week? Maybe?
Just looking here in the details, it was 211 and 229. So, okay. So I'm looking at today's first one is from the 9th, episode 2 is from the 11th. So they were not Monday through Friday. Particular ones, and they had some that ran like 11, 15 parts. I think you'd forget where the story started if you could only hear 15 minutes, every other day or so, or two times a week. Of course, I would, but of course, I'm a little older now than I was back then, so.
Just a bit, huh?
just a wee bit. 13th. So I think it was a Monday, Wednesday, Friday type deal because it was the 9th, the 11th, and the 13th for the first three. So,
almost 3 weeks of radio we're cramming into one weekend.
That's right. Wow. Sounds like a lot of hard work.
That's Dave.
Sounds like it.
A harder worker than James Brown. And by the way, football legend Jim Brown just passed away.
Did he? I had not heard that.
I believe
wow.
legend Jim Brown has passed away. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry yep. to hear that.
That's very sad for Cleveland football fans.
Yep, yep. Nobody could beat a defensive line or a woman as well as he could.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
I'm sorry. Did I say that part out loud?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he had his character issues and whatever. I certainly have mine. So who am I?
Hey, what do I know? What do I know? I'm a cartoon, you know?
Yeah. No, that's never a cool thing, not to belittle what he was accused of doing. I don't know. Did he get found guilty of it? I don't remember.
I don't know if they ever went to trial. I think that charges were probably dropped by the women before it
yeah.
went that far.
Yep.
Best movie for Jim Brown, as far as I'm concerned, Mars Attacks.
That's true. That's true. He helped save the world. He and Slim
yeah,
Whitman.
He did. He bare-knuckled a whole bunch of them crazy Martians. Ack, ack, ack.
Yep.
We come in peace. While he's shooting people. I love it.
We come in peace.
Best part of that movie is Grandma when she's watching TV. And she goes, ha, 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 they killed Congress. She's laughing. I don't think I need to comment any further. No matter which religion you are. Superman, the guy for peace, justice, and the American way. Dave, what was your first introduction to Superman? How were you first made aware as a child?
Oh, of course it was through George Reeves in the TV series. Of course, they were reruns by the time, you know, they got to us, but we got
yeah.
to watch it every day because they were syndicated by then. And instead of getting it once a week, we got to watch it every day.
Yes, and I recall that as well. I think being my I did get some comic books early. There were a few. I had a few DC early on.
I
later
understand
became
it, but
a Marvel man.
But did you get the comic book before you saw the TV show?
I can't be 100% certain. It seems to me it should have been the TV show because before 1964 gets a little fuzzy. Well, I was only 4 years old. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yes.
And I quite
yes.
well may have been watching it. I do know I remember watching The Lone Ranger before 1964 and Combat and a few other things. I can't say I have specific memories of watching Superman. Those memories came later, more like in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, maybe, in the
okay.
reruns. And
well,
I
yeah,
do have a comic book
then,
from the mid-60s, so I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you didn't really watch it until, you know, the late 60s, early 70s, then you probably hit the comic books first.
It's possible, because that was a mid-60s comic that I had. It was probably like a Legion Justice thing. It wasn't like specifically a Superman comic book. But I was already, I don't know. It seems maybe I was already familiar with the character. So it's a little difficult for me to remember exactly. And, who can forget those Christopher Reeve films too? Those were great.
Yeah. Except for Superman 3, you need to knock that one out. Almost making fun of it. It almost made fun of the whole franchise, I thought.
Which one was that? Refresh me.
That's the one where he acted like he didn't want to be Superman anymore, and like Richard Pryor was in that one. And
oh yeah, they made it a comedy. Richard Pryor was stealing like the pennies or the fractions of pennies off of paychecks from the HR department or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And somehow he teams up with Superman.
So yeah, that one, you can forget that one. Kind of like if you like the George Burns Oh God movies, get rid of Oh God Book 3. The first one was great. The second one was was more thoughtful, less funny, more thoughtful. The third one was a joke, and leave it alone.
You see that in a lot of franchises, the third movie.
Yeah.
Even Halloween 3 went completely off the rails and away from the Michael Myers stories. It was not a horrible movie, but it just didn't seem to fit the Halloween franchise. It's like the redheaded nephew of that series.
Yeah.
With freckles.
With freckles. But of course.
But perhaps one of the greatest superheroes of all time, maybe the greatest, born in 1939, I think, was it? Maybe 38 in Action Comics number one?
Yeah, I think it was 39 for that, but that would make him the second superhero, depending if you considered the Shadow a superhero.
Yeah, and that's been a debate we've had before, and there's arguments that are favorable, I think.
Well, you know, when he originally came out just like a whistler, or was just kind of narrating and peeking around the corners and things like that, I don't consider him a superhero, but when he got his own show where he became invisible and was a crime fighter, then he became a superhero, in my mind.
Yeah. CW reminds us in the chat that Aliens 3, not that great. Also true. I think by then you're kind of running off the... Oh, God, Poltergeist 3. I think that one was pretty horrible, wasn't it?
Yeah, so, you know, if you're going to do a sequel, do one sequel and then stop. You know, that's I guess that's the secret.
We probably ought to get started tonight with our program. This one's entitled The Ghost Car.
Probably.
And when did we first hear this one?
We first heard this one on February 9th of 1940, and two.
Presenting the transcription feature, Superman.
In the ghost.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman.
In the ghost.
Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from the planet Krypton, who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can leap tall buildings at a single bound, race a speeding bullet to its target, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth and justice. But before we join Superman, listen.
And now to our story. As you remember, young Jimmy Olsen, copy boy on the Daily Planet, was sent to the Bar O'Dude Ranch to regain his health. Situated high in the hills, the rolling acres of the ranch can be reached only by way of a dirt road that winds tortuously up the mountain. It is on this road that three strange, mysterious accidents have taken place. Accidents that defy explanation. One after the other, on three successive nights, cars have rounded the horseshoe curve leading to a tunnel carved through the solid rock. And on three successive nights, blinding headlights have knifed out of the mouth of the tunnel, and an onrushing automobile forced each of the cars off the road to crash into bordering trees. But each time, when the driver of the wrecked car stumbled to the road, the automobile was gone, vanished as if into thin air. As our story continues today, Jimmy Olsen is calling Clark Kent long distance to report the mystery. Listen.
Operator. Operator.
I'm trying to get your party, sir. One moment, please.
Oh, gosh, I think I was calling Europe instead of Metropolis. It takes us so long.
Here's your party, sir.
Hello, Mr. Kent?
Hello, Jimmy. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Mr. Kent. But something terrible has happened up here.
What?
I said something terrible has happened up here.
What is it?
A lot of accidents. Automobile accidents.
Great Scott. Were you hurt?
I can't hear you. There's a clicking in the phone.
Are you all right? Were you hurt?
Oh, no. I wasn't in any of the accidents.
Then why are you calling long distance?
Because there's a big story behind the accident. I want you to come up here and cover it.
What's it all about?
Well, there were two smash-ups earlier this week and another one about an hour ago. Something funny's going on.
Now, look, Jimmy, you were sent to the Barrow Ranch to rest, not to play detective.
I know, but these aren't just ordinary accidents. There's a ghost car.
A what?
A ghost car. They've been trying to keep it quiet, but I found out about it.
Did you say ghost car?
Yeah, it disappears after every accident. That's why I want you to... Hello? Hello? Mr. Kent, are you still there? Hello? Operator. Operator. Oh, we were cut off. Operator. Operator. Hello, operator.
Operator. Hello, operator.
Number, please.
Operator, I was talking to the Bar O Ranch at Rocky Point. We were cut off.
I will try to connect you. One moment, please.
Okay. And hurry it up, will you, please?
What's all the excitement, Clark?
Oh, hello.
You're certainly giving that telephone hook a terrific beating.
Jimmy called me from the Dude Ranch. We were cut off.
Well, he's all right, isn't he?
Well, from what I could gather, he was excited about some strange accidents that have been happening up there. But I couldn't quite understand what he was talking about.
Hello?
Oh, yes, operator.
On your call to Rocky Point, sir,
yes.
That line is out of order.
But I was speaking with the party just a moment ago.
I'm sorry, sir. That line is out of order.
All right, thank you. Craziest thing.
What's the matter?
Since the line's out of order, I don't understand it.
What did Jimmy call for?
Why, to tell me about a series of automobile accidents. He wanted me to come up and cover the story.
What story?
Search me. Oh, yes, he mentioned a ghost car. At least that's what it sounded like. Oh, I'm worried about him. Something may have happened. I think I'll take a run up there.
Oh, I see. Anything to get away for a few days.
Look, Lois, you know I don't need excuses to get away. Now, Jimmy's a pretty level-headed kid. He wouldn't have called me for nothing. If something's happened to him, I want to be there.
You don't have to make apologies, Mr. Kent. A couple of days at the Barrow Ranch might be very pleasant.
But...
matter of fact, I think I'll go with you.
Well, no, it doesn't really need both of us, Lois. Actually, maybe nothing at all.
Then why waste time?
Well, it's just that Jimmy sounded strange over the phone. I don't understand what he meant by a ghost car. I don't like the way that phone went out of order so suddenly.
I'll check the trains. I can be ready in an hour.
I'll be sensible, Lois. Mr. White wouldn't want both of us away from the office at the same time.
Unfortunately, Mr. White's in Washington.
Yes, but...
you can't talk me out of it.
But I can get there faster alone.
How? By sprouting wings? Oh, no, my friend. If Jimmy's uncovered a story up there, I'm going to be in on it. I'll be ready in an hour. You better wire ahead for reservations.
Rocky Point.
Thank goodness we're here at last. I've never been on such a dirty train.
You were the one who insisted on coming. Don't complain to me.
I'm not complaining. I just don't like dirty trains.
Hmm. You better go ahead. I'll take the bag.
Okay.
Watch the steps.
I've gotten off trains before, Mr. Kent.
Port! Port! Port!
Huh. So this is Rocky Point, huh? Not much of a town, is it?
I can't hear a word you're saying. Now, what did you say?
Just that it isn't much of a town.
No.
Well, now let's see what we can do about getting some transportation to the ranch.
Isn't that man wearing a cap the station agent?
Yeah, I guess so. Let's go over and talk to him.
Right.
Excuse me, can you tell me if there's a bus or taxi around?
Well, we ain't got no regular taxi, but I got a car and I give folks a lift sometimes. Private life.
Oh, good. Is it time to drive us now?
I reckon so. Just closing up the station.
Oh. Where's the car? I'll put the bags in.
That's it. Parked right over there.
Thank you.
Come on.
I thought you said you had to close up the station.
Well, that's only a manner of speaking, miss. Really, nothing to close. There you are, mister. Stow the bags right in the back and hop in.
All right. All right, Lois, get in.
Okay.
Sit. Turn over.
There we are. Well, mister, where to?
The Bar O Ranch.
What's that you said?
The Bar O Ranch.
Well, what's the matter? Did your motor stall?
This is as far as we go, mister. Better take your bags out.
Say, what is this?
You just said you'd drive us.
Changed my mind.
Well, why?
I don't know, as I got to explain, mister. I ain't a driving the Bar O. That's all there is to it.
Look, we're in a hurry. We've got to get there tonight.
I'm sorry, lady.
Come on, Lois. Let's not argue with him. We'll get someone else to take us there.
Won't do no good. Ain't no one in this town will drive you there tonight.
Clark, what are we going to do?
Stop in town overnight. I'll run you up first thing in the morning.
Well, what's the difference, morning or night? Don't your headlights work?
Sure. They work fine.
Maybe he's afraid of ghosts.
What's that about ghosts?
Nothing. I was only joking.
Oh, I thought maybe you heard.
Just a second. I heard a story about a ghost car causing accidents. Is that why you won't drive us to the Bar O at night?
Oh, Clark, don't be ridiculous. Oh. A grown man isn't afraid of a ghost car.
Lady, that's what I thought until I saw Luke Ormsby's car piled up against a tree. Luke ain't nobody's fool. Maybe the other two were seeing things, but not Luke. Them headlights come right at him, forced him off the road and into a tree. And there weren't a single tire track where he saw the automobile. That was enough for me.
Hey, maybe he's right, Clark. Let's wait until morning.
Don't be silly. You can wait if you like, Lois. Matter of fact, that's not a bad idea. You spend the night in town, and I'll go ahead. You can join me in the morning.
Oh, no, you don't. You're not going to leave me behind. And besides, how would you get up there?
Why? I'll walk if necessary.
And you're being ridiculous. If you can walk, so can I.
Now, you're being ridiculous. I told you not to come.
But I'm here, and I'm going to stay.
No use arguing with a woman, mister.
Oh. Say, look. How about renting me your car?
Hmm?
I'll drive it myself.
No, sirree. I don't want it smashed up.
Hmm. All right, then. How about this? How much is your car worth?
Hmm? Let's see. You reckon about $150? Maybe old, but it's in mighty fine shape.
All right, here. I give you $150 as a deposit. I'll drive the car myself. If it's smashed up, you keep the money. If it isn't, I'll bring the car back and you return my money. How's that?
It sounds fair enough. But it'll cost you $5 a day rental. And you pay for gas and oil.
Fine. And it's a deal?
I reckon so.
Good. Here. Here's your money. Now, come on, Lois. Get in front with me.
Right.
Now, how do we get to the Barro?
You just follow this road straight till you come to a fork.
Uh-huh.
And then you take the dirt road to the left.
Straight ahead, then a left turn at the fork.
That's easy. Just a minute, mister.
Yes?
I warned you against driving up there at night. If you ain't listening to me, that's your business. But there's something I got to tell you.
What's that?
About half a mile from the ranch, there's a bad turn in the road. Just before you get to a tunnel. Watch that. That's the dangerous part.
Thanks, I will. Goodbye.
Remember the tunnel.
Driving the station agent's old car along the winding road, Kent and Lois go on to the Barro Ranch. With less than a mile to go, the stillness of the night is broken only by the steady chugging of the ancient motor as it struggles laboriously but steadily up the mountain.
I'll be glad when we get there.
Not worried, are you?
No, not exactly. But I can't help feeling a bit nervous when talking with that station agent.
Well, I can't help reminding you that coming along was your idea.
Oh, Kent, if you mention that once more, I...
Oh, now, wait a minute, Lord. Say, I'm sorry. Let's change the subject, huh?
I hope Jimmy's all right.
So do I. Well, we'll know soon.
Look, Clark, there's a sharp turn in up ahead.
Oh, yeah.
The tunnel must be just around the bend. Be careful, please.
Don't worry. I'll blow the horn to warn our ghost friend.
See, there is a tunnel. Please, look out, Clark! Look out!
The car is coming right at us. I've got to turn off the road. Hang on, Lois. We're going to crash!
Swerving sharply to avoid a head-on collision with the onrushing car, Kent and Lois crash into the mountainside. Two more victims of the mysterious ghost car. Was Kent able to save Lois from serious injury? Will he be able to solve the mystery? And meanwhile, what has happened to Jimmy Olsen while Kent and Lois were on their way? Be sure to listen to the next exciting episode of this strange adventure with
Superman!
Look! Up in the sky!
It's a bird! It's a plane!
It's Superman!
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Yes, he was at the time. Very early in the run back in 1942. Yep. And that was part one of the ghost car. We got four. Count them, four more parts to go. And I'm not hearing my partner, Dave, so I'll just keep going. Superman, not only in the 50s show, those great cartoons that were in the late 60s, early 70s. Bud Collier, great voice man for the Superman series, I recall. I hope you are enjoying our program tonight. as I try to figure out if Dave is with us or not. Maybe, maybe so. We'll find out shortly. Let's just go ahead and jump right back in to part two of the Ghost Car from Superman.
And now to our story. A series of mysterious accidents have been plaguing automobiles bound for the Bar O Dude Ranch. When Jimmy Olsen, who had been spending several weeks at the ranch, learned that the accidents had been caused by a strange ghost car, he called Clark Kent. Kent could scarcely credit the story, but when their telephone conversation was cut short abruptly, he decided to go to the ranch and investigate. Lois Lane insisted on accompanying Kent, and the two arrived at the mountain village of Rocky Point, only to learn that no one would drive them to the ranch after dark because of the ghost car rumor. Kent finally rented a car from the station agent, and he and Lois have started out for the ranch, with the agent's warning still ringing in their ears. Slowly, the rickety old car winds its way along the dusty road. And then, suddenly...
Clark, look out! That car!
It's coming right at us! Hang on, Lois! I've got to turn off the road! We're going to crash! Lois. Lois, are you all right?
Oh,
she's unconscious. I'd better get her out of the car. She's coming to. Easy, Lois. Easy now. You're all right. It's all over.
Oh, Clark, those headlights. What happened?
That car came tearing out of the tunnel right at us. And I had to run off the road to avoid a collision. You hurt?
No. Oh, I guess I'm all right. Just my head. Oh, aches.
Bumped it against the door. That's probably what knocked you out. Oh, we certainly were lucky. You might have been killed.
What about you?
Oh, I'm all right. I was braced against the steering wheel.
That driver must have been mad to race out of a tunnel that way without even blowing his horn.
I'd like to find out who he was and give him a piece of my mind.
Didn't he stop?
Guess not. I don't see his car.
He'll have his license taken away.
Well, I'll worry about that now. We've got to get to the ranch and find out what this is all about.
Well, this car won't get us there. Oh, it's a wreck.
Yeah, you're right. But we're not far away. And if you can walk, why...
Yeah, help me up.
Sure, wait a minute. I'll rest for a while. You were pretty badly shaken up.
Don't worry about me. What about our luggage?
I've got it. All right, come on, let's get back to the road.
It's so dark. I don't like it too much. I wish we had a light of some sort.
Yes, it would help. So wait a minute. Maybe there's one in the glove compartment of the car. That's luck. Here's a flashlight.
Oh, good.
And it works, too.
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah, let's get going. Here, hold on to my arm.
Thanks. Dirt road. My shoes will be ruined.
What? Complaining after the lucky escape you had?
I just bought these shoes. They're brand
new. Look at that.
What?
Right there on the road, where the flashlight beam is pointed.
I don't see anything.
Well, that's just it. There should be tire tracks.
You mean tracks of the car that nearly crashed into it?
Yes, and there aren't any.
Well, that's impossible. A car couldn't possibly drive on a dirt road like this without leaving tracks.
Sure, but where are they?
But, Clark, I saw a car. I know it. The headlights nearly blinded me.
I know. I saw it, too. And yet, no tracks.
Clark... That station agent warned us. He said the tunnel was dangerous. And we had an accident, and there are no tracks. Clark, it was the ghost car.
Oh, Lois, get hold of yourself. This is no time to fold up. Even a child doesn't believe in ghosts.
What happened to that car? Clark, I don't like this.
Come on, let's get to the ranch.
The sooner we get there, the better.
It can't be more than a few miles. Come on.
Trudging up the dusty road, Lois and Kent head for the Bar O Ranch, the electric flash cutting a slim pencil of light ahead of them. Meanwhile, at the ranch house, Jimmy Olsen is arguing with Steve Graham, the owner, and Nelson Blaine, manager of the Bar O.
Mr. Graham, you've got to do it.
Listen, son, no one's going to drive you into town at this hour of the night.
What's the rush, Jimmy? You can make your phone call in the morning. Maybe our line will be fixed by then.
I can't wait until morning, Mr. Blaine. I've got to speak to Mr. Kent.
Why is it so important that you speak to him?
I Can't tell anyone but Mr. Kent.
Don't bother arguing with him, Blaine. I said no one's going to drive him to town tonight. That's all there is to it.
Well, if you won't drive me, then I'll walk. That's what I'll do.
No, no, you won't. You're going to stay right here.
You can't stop me. I'm going right now.
You don't.
Let go of me. Let go. You can't keep me here.
And Mr. Graham, be careful.
No.
You might hurt him.
I don't care. No. Brett isn't going to tell.
Maybe it'd be better if I did, Brian.
Oh, no. Stop squirming. You're not leaving this room.
Let me go. Let go. I won't stay here. You can't make me.
Who's that?
I'll say.
Mr. Kent.
Hello, Jimmy.
Oh, Miss Lane. Gosh, I'm glad to see you.
Hello, Jimmy. What's wrong, Jim? I heard you shouting, let me go.
Well, perhaps I can explain.
Who are you?
I'm manager of the Barrow. My name's Blaine. And this is Mr. Graham, the owner. Now, you see...
I'll handle this, Blaine. I'm sorry, Mr. Kent. I just lost my head. I've been under kind of a strain lately, and... Well, I'm sorry. I was restraining the boy.
Did he hurt you, Jimmy?
No, I'm all right.
What's this all about?
I wanted to go into town to call Mr. Kent, and he wouldn't let me. Phone's out of order up here.
Why did you refuse his request, Graham?
Well, I told Jimmy the phone would be working in the morning. It was no sense taking a long drive at night.
He didn't want me to tell you about the ghost car. That's the reason.
Ridiculous. There's no such thing as a ghost car.
I'm not so sure about that, Mr. Graham.
Well, what do you mean?
We've met your ghost car.
What? Oh, you're just joking.
Unfortunately, Miss Lane is not joking. We met the ghost car when we were driving up here.
Driving? I didn't hear your car pull in.
It was wrecked at the tunnel by a car that disappeared.
That's the way the other accidents happened, Mr. Kent.
I'm licked. I just can't fight this any longer. It's hopeless.
Fight what, Graham?
Started here at the ranch. A man fell off his horse when a stirrup broke.
Oh, accidents like that always happen at ranches.
You know, that's what I thought. And there was a mysterious slide, and that society girl was injured. 2 days later, the porch steps collapsed, and a young couple was hurt. And came this ghost car. Well, that's too much.
When did all this bad luck begin, Graham?
About 3 weeks ago. It's been driving me frantic. Most of my guests have left, and I'm not getting any new ones.
There must be a reason for all these strange things, particularly the ghost car.
I don't care anymore, miss. Well, I thought I could keep everything quiet until the mystery was cleared up, but it's no use.
You're giving up too easily, Mr. Graham.
I'm not a young man anymore, Blaine. I can't take it the way I used to. The ranch is jinxed. I'm going to get rid of it if I have to give it away.
Gosh, I'm sorry, Mr. Graham. I didn't know you were in all this trouble. But you don't have to worry now. Mr. Kent's here. He'll straighten everything out.
No, son, it's too late. Blaine, I'm going to take that real estate broker's offer. Get in touch with him in the morning and tell him to come up here.
Oh, someone offered to buy the ranch?
Yes, a local real estate agent's been after me, and I think I'm going to take him up. I'm through with the Barrow.
Well, it's none of my business if you want to sell your ranch. But I'm still going to find out what's back of that ghost car. After all, I have a personal interest in this. Miss Lane might have been killed.
Oh, how about you, Clark? Are you immune to automobile crashes?
Why, no, of course not.
Whoever is responsible ought to be behind bars.
Just give us time, Graham, and we'll put him there.
Mr. Kent will find him, Mr. Graham, if anyone can.
You people sound so sincere, I almost believe you would go out of your way to help me. But I can't wait. I'm washed up.
Don't you think I'd better see about sleeping quarters for Miss Lane and Mr. Kent now?
Yes. Mr. Kent can bunk in the boys' cabin, and Miss Lane can have number 7.
All right, I'll take care of it right away.
We'll have to get started on this the first thing in the morning.
Oh, phone's working again.
Hello?
Hello, Graham. This is Sheriff King.
Well, hello, Sheriff. Anything new?
Yeah, another accident in the tunnel.
I know. There's people here with me.
Listen, Graham. I'm closing the road until this is cleared up.
Well, you can't do that, Sheriff.
I'm sorry, but I've got to. 3 accidents in 2 days are too much. I'm closing the road.
Oh, wait a second. The sheriff's going to close the road to traffic, Mr. Kent.
Oh, here, let me talk to him. Hello, Sheriff. This is Clark Kent of the Daily Planet.
Did you say Clark Kent?
Uh-huh.
Why? You're the man that worked on that spy case I wrote about.
That's right.
Nice job, Mr. Kent. What can I do for you?
Don't close that road yet.
Why not?
Well, we'll never find the ghost car if you do.
Why won't we?
Well, we've got to catch him in action.
Oh, I see what you mean. But there have been too many accidents.
Well, just give me a couple of days to work on it. Just keep the road open for a few days. That's all I ask.
I don't know. It's taking a big chance.
Well, just 3 days, that's all.
All right. I shouldn't do this. The same as you, Mr. Kent, I'll rest. Remember, 3 days.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, I'll be up to see you in the morning.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
You'll keep the road open for 3 days.
3 days?
Uh-huh.
We have quite a job ahead of us.
Yes, you and Jimmy need some rest. How about bed?
Well, I have some accounts to go over, Miss Lane. Do you mind if I don't show you the cabin? Right next to Jimmy's.
I know where it is.
That's all right, Mr. Graham.
Good night, Mr. Graham.
Good night.
Right along this path. Right over there.
Clark,
hmm?
How did that ghost car disappear? And what happened to the tire track?
We'll try to find that out tomorrow, Lois. Right now, you need sleep.
I guess you're right. I am tired after that long hike.
Well, here's your cabin, Miss Lane.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Good night.
Good night, Lois.
Good night, Jimmy. Night,
Jimmy. All right, Jimmy. Let's go to our place now.
It's right next door. Here we are. Let me turn on the light.
Okay.
Yeah, isn't it swell?
Perfect. Now, you better hit the hay, Jimmy. We have a day ahead of us.
Help!
What?
Help!
What's that?
Lois crying for help.
Clark!
Something's happened.
Help!
Come on, Jimmy, quick!
Please!
What new terror has struck the Barrow Ranch? Clark Kent and Jimmy Olsen are rushing to help Lois, whose terrified cries have broken the stillness of the night. Will they be in time? Don't miss the next exciting episode of The Mystery of the Ghost Car. Tune in and follow the story with Superman.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Give me that shoe.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Give me that shoe.
Yeah, he hadn't even been able to use his cape yet, so I don't know. I don't know.
Not yet, but hey, danger is lurking in this episode.
Yes, it is. Just trying to check something here. I had, you mentioned Bud Collier as
yes.
Superman, and I really only knew him from his radio work. And a voiceover, cartoon voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I didn't realize was he was one of the earliest stars of television game show hosting. Yeah, he's got his first help in the game shows when he co-hosted ABC's, formerly the NBC Blue Network, Break the Bank with a future Miss America pageantry mainstay, Burt Parks. And when he was picked to host the radio original of the Mark Goodson, Bill Todman team's first game, Winner Take All, Collier went on to host the television versions of both shows. Winner Take All became, in due course, the first hosting seat for another game show titan, Bill Cullen. He was also host of Beat the Clock and looks like the original host of To Tell the Truth.
Who knew? Well, I guess Dave did. But
I didn't know. I didn't know.
You knew before the rest of us. As we stand here shocked, amazed, and pleased at the same time. No, that's amazing. I do. He's one of my favorite distinctive voices of my youth.
And one of his favorite voices of what?
He's one of my favorite recognizable voices from my youth.
Yeah.
You know, through various cartoon voiceovers and things like that. Just had a great voice.
Yeah. He did that. And he even portrayed, starting in 66, the reprise Superman in the Filmation TV series, The New Adventures of Superman. So just as so many radio people did, drifted into a voiceover, cartoon, and commercial work.
Yep.
I'm also hearing in here the great Arnold Moss. I love that guy's voice. And I perked up when I heard Arnold Moss in here tonight.
Awesome. We hope you guys and gals are equally as pleased. We're having a good time listening to the exciting adventures as folks heard them on 15-minute programming three times a week or so. And,
yeah, looks like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Yep.
Yeah. Superman.
And,
I think what drew me away from DC and more towards Marvel is they were more, the Marvel characters were more relatable to me. At some point I'm like, God, if nothing hurts Superman or else everybody on the planet has kryptonite, you know, this is going to get old.
Yeah.
For me.
I understood. And they did a pretty good job of mixing it up there in the black and white. And then eventually the last year in color of the original Adventures of Superman for television.
Yep. And of course that kind of soured a little bit with the tragedy and scandal surrounding the passing of George Reeves.
Yeah.
It's almost like a cursed role. Yeah, Christopher Reeve got injured badly.
The suicide that wasn't a suicide, yeah.
Yeah. Or was it? Or wasn't it?
Because he had to have shot himself like 8 times, so he must have been a really bad shot is all I got.
I shot myself accidentally 8 times. In the back of the head.
I mean, you know what, Dale? I guess you can say it was suicide since he was messing around with a mobster's wife. So I guess you could call that suicide.
Oh, then it was definitely a suicide. God, I forgot about that part of the trial. That's right. And the investigation. Of course it's an accident. Or a suicide, or, you know. He was sad because he was no longer Superman. And the kids found out. Isn't that horrifying?
Yeah, you know what's weird about that is that he was actually looking forward to the next season after he'd been fighting it for being pigeonholed, but two things were going to happen. One, he was going to get to direct several of the episodes in that next season, plus the fact he was going to direct a feature film, a science fiction feature film, and the original Lois Lane, not Noelle, but the Phyllis Coates, she was going to star in this for him. So he was all excited about directing the science fiction film. So, again, there are so many reasons why
yeah,
it wasn't
not
a suicide,
likely
except
that
he was
suicide. Well, our very own Wonder Woman has joined us.
Ah!
Green
at least I think so.
Hello? Yes, hello.
There I am.
Yes, here I am to save the day. Get out of the way, Superman. Wonder Woman's here. So... No, I was trying to call in because I didn't know if you'd get Dave. Dave vanished on you, and I didn't want you to be all alone.
Yeah, Google Voice kind of kicked me off for some reason, and I came back.
Hard
to keep me back.
Hurrah.
No.
Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah.
Yep. Russian interference, I'm sure. Anyway. We got a good story here. I know you're a comic book fan, CW.
I am. I still lean more towards the DC characters, with all due respect of finding Marvel a little bit more relatable in some respects. I was, you know,
just for me.
Was more of a, but Batman, you know, when Superman got a little too overwhelming, and Wonder Woman was absolutely fabulous. Of course, we went to the Batman family. You had Batman, Robin, then you had Batgirl, Batwoman, you had Nightwing, et cetera, et cetera, and so on.
And Superboy's dog.
Oh, yes, Crypto. And don't forget Batman's dog, Ace.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I should have had collies.
So
but anyway, can you tell I'm partial?
Just a tad.
Yeah.
They're amazing critters.
Yeah. They are. Remember when the dog is barking, Timmy's in the well, or something's wrong with Dale.
I had an experience this week, and it was Pal.
You fell in the well?
No, I had a very bad sugar crash, and he started whining and pressing, which he never does. He was pressing himself against me, like, you know, his side of his body, like, oh. And I got real weak, and I kind of was on the ground, and he's licking my face and my hands and stuff, like, hey, hey, hey. Then I got something sugary, and I was fine. But it was not fun. But yeah, dogs are sensitive to that. Collies are also used for people with disabilities. Not recommended for the blind because of the care of a rough collie's coat, but a short-haired collie, they're kind of weird looking because it's like a naked collie kind of. But they're extremely good dogs for seeing eye dogs and other purposes. Yep.
Most definitely. I think they're used even also for people who have issues with epilepsy, if I'm not mistaken.
I have read that. PTSD, all other things. They're good therapy dogs because they have a unique ability to read human beings, your expressions, your modes and stuff like that. When you have them for a pet, they tend to be a little clingy for those reasons, but I'll take it. I'll take it. Good dog.
That might be an interesting segue for a show for research, heroic pets or heroic animals. In the comic book industry, of course, you have Crypto for Superman, Ace for Batman. You have the comic book character of Squirrel Girl. Yes, Paladin, we're talking about you.
Oh, you heard him, huh? A little devil.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my super hearing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just steering clear of your lasso of truth. I'm not, I don't want any part of that. You keep that thing away from
me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, the things we would hear, folks. The things we would hear.
Oh, the things you'd hear would be just curling.
You hear from me would be this. That's what you hear from me.
Oh. Yeah. Yes, that would be about the size of it.
Yep. And in addition to the 5 episodes we got tonight, Dave's got us a little special feature. In fact, I got a little special something that I saved that we played once in the past, but this is just we had a horror host on Saturday afternoons. It was more of a kiddies type horror host. Where Dave and I got the opportunity to view a lot of the early Universal flicks on Superhost Theater. And here's the intro from that show.
Pop in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
No, it's Superhost!
Give me that shoe!
Meet mild-mannered director trainee Henry Bookerstein becomes Superhost. And with powers far beyond those of ordinary men, Superhost brings you Saturday Afternoon. And now, Soup's on.
Yeah, and that was a great intro. What the Gimme That Shoe was all about, the people pointing in the sky, their hands were off camera, and one of them comes down with a shoe, and you see him reach from off camera. And he wore a Superman costume, but had a clown-like red nose. And It was a good show. Look, kids would send in their mail and their drawings and stuff, just like on Big Chuck's show.
Yep, and he had all those Godzilla movies, all those Japanese monster movies. He had those.
Yep, and of course, Jim Klink, my dear friend Jim Klink, I found out much later. I didn't know him then, but Superhost showed his work on his show.
Yep.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep, and good old Bob, obviously on the same wiki page I am, is a superhero who appeared in American comic books published by DC Comics. The character was created by Jerry Siegel, that's a name that's going to come up in a minute, and artist Joe Shuster, and debuted in the comic book Action Comics number 1, cover dated June 1938, but published April 18th in 1938. Yep. Excuse me one moment.
Ah, yes. To be the owner of the first Superman book. Ah, yes, yes. Relaxing by your pool in your mansion. Ah, yes.
Did you know that Nicolas Cage had a copy stolen from him of Action Number 1?
Really?
I believe it was recovered. It was a ratty issue. I mean, you can imagine it's old, but I believe Nicolas Cage owns a Action Comics number 1.
Well,
I mean, to have it in any
condition so many...
would be amazing.
Yes, Oh my gosh!
It was right next to the Monet and the Vino de Milo he had in his living room. You know.
Oh, yep. Yes. Not to forget the T-Rex skeleton he had in the kitchen.
Yes, not to forget that.
Yep. And when Dave and I hosted all 17 of the Fleischer cartoons, Dave got the opportunity to go out to Jerry Siegel's house and do some segments from there for the long episode. There's a 2-hour version of Weirdness Really Bad movie of it, where Dave and I co-host.
Yeah, we have a two hour Weirdness Really Bad. But when we had Erie House television,
TV.
not only did we have that and the thing I did at the Superman State Historical Plaque, there was a big museum exhibit from Cleveland to Krypton. And
yes.
Dale and I
covered
that. And then we also covered several weeks later, two panel talks about, well, one was a panel talk and the other one was with the daughter of Siegel, who had released the book, My Mom, Lois Lane or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those were both about hour pieces too. So when we put that all together for Erie House, how many hours of programming did you have there, Dale?
I think we had over 4.5 hours of programming.
Yeah.
Maybe it was longer, I think, when we subsequently added those panel discussions. It was just incredible because we did a Superman weekend on Erie House TV. I got to get another streaming channel. I want to get that out there for people to see the whole thing, not only the 17 Fleischer cartoons, the extra features Dave and I mentioned, but we also threw in a bunch of commercials we found. Old-time with the TV cast from the Superman show with George Reeves. A lot of fun with that. A lot of fun.
And even the staff day for Superman. We had that in there as well.
Yep. Yeah.
That is worth a pilgrimage. I didn't realize he was from Ohio to go there and see the house. And
there's a lot of interesting stories, too, on how the Superman character was. He was originally a bad guy.
Yeah. He was a bald bad guy, yeah. Yeah, if I were that bald, I'd probably be a bad guy too. So, I'd just leave me angry, so I'd be a bad guy.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it took a while for the character to morph into the Kal-El from the planet Krypton, that's for sure. Well, we got three more segments. We probably ought to get started with part three of the Ghost Car from Superman.
Yeah.
From February 13th of 1942.
Still?
And now to our story. Whatever doubt Clark Kent felt about the existence of a ghost car, said to be the cause of a series of accidents on the road to the Barrow Ranch, was swept aside when he and Lois drove up the dirt road to the ranch. The sudden appearance of an onrushing automobile forced them into a tree, and there was no evidence later of any tire tracks in the dirt. The car had mysteriously disappeared. When Lois and Kent finally reached the ranch, they learned that the owner, Steve Graham, had for 3 weeks been plagued with trouble. Accidents on the ranch as well as on the road. At the end of his rope, Graham has decided to sell the property. The task of fighting the unknown jinx is too much. But Clark Kent is of another mind. He is determined to solve the mystery of the ghost car. But time is limited. The sheriff has granted Kent just 3 days to find a solution. After that, the road will be closed to traffic. As our story continues today, Kent, Lois, and Jimmy Olsen have gone to their cabin to rest up after a trying day.
That's our cabin, Jimmy?
That's right, Mr. Kent. You're bunking with me.
Oh.
Here, let me turn on the light.
Okay.
Isn't it swell?
Perfect. Well, you better hit the hay, Jimmy. We have a tough day ahead of us tomorrow.
Help!
What?
Help!
What's that?
Lois crying for help. Something's happened. Come on, Jim. Lois! Where are you, Lois?
Here, Pop, behind the cabin.
Stay with me, Jim.
Okay.
What's the matter?
Look there. The barn's on fire.
Terrific. Blaze, come on.
There's Mr. Graham attaching the hose.
All right, Lois. Don't you and Jimmy come any closer. I'm going to help Graham.
Yes. I'm glad to hear. Here, give me a hand with this hose.
What's the matter? Why isn't there any pressure?
I don't know.
Now, wait, let me look.
My horses are trapped in there. We've got to save them.
This horse is trapped.
Who could have done that?
No time to worry about that now. We've got to save those animals. Mr. Graham, is there a well nearby?
Yes, right over there.
Get your men to start a bucket brigade immediately.
Where are you going?
To free those horses.
Well, you can't go in there, can't it? It's an inferno.
I'll try the back of the barn. The fire isn't so bad around that side.
Well, can't you be burned to death?
Never mind me. Get that bucket brigade going.
Superman will have to take care of this. Now, just crash through the side of the barn and back here. Here goes. There, that does it. Another minute and I would have been too late. Now to get those horses out of their stalls. No, they're frightened. All right, now get going. Get out. Come on there. Outside. Get along. Come on there. That's it. That's the last of them. I'll have some explaining to do, but I think I can handle it.
No, I'm all right.
How did you get in there to let those horses out?
There was a loose board. I tore it off and crawled into the stalls. Where's Miss Lane and Jimmy?
Back at the ranch house.
Oh.
One of my men burned his hand. They're fixing him up.
I see the bucket brigade's working all right.
Yes, but the barn will be burned to the ground, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
At least we'll keep the fire from spreading to the other buildings.
Say, Mr. Graham, this is beginning to get serious.
What do you mean?
That fire was no accident.
Why do you say that?
That hose was deliberately cut not so long ago. Someone set that fire on purpose after cutting the hose so you couldn't put it out. Evidently the same person or persons responsible for the ghost car and the other accident.
Oh, Kent, it's no use. I'm up against something too strong for me to fight. I can't win.
You're not fighting alone now, Mr. Graham.
I know, but it's still too much. I'm going to take that real estate broker's offer. Let him have the ranch at his price.
Is it a good offer?
No. He wants to pay less than the ranch originally cost.
Why should anyone be so anxious to buy the Barro?
I don't know. The Butte Ranch can be a profitable business, but the Barro hasn't been in existence long enough to make much money. Just about made expenses until all this happened.
And yet someone is anxious to get control of the Barro. Why? Is there anything valuable on your property?
Not that I know of. There's an abandoned mine, but it's not worth anything.
What kind of mine?
It used to be a fairly productive gold mine. But it was worked out about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Most of the tunnels have collapsed.
I'd like to take a look at it. Where is it?
It's up at the other end of the ranch, beyond the creek, about 4 miles from here.
I'll take a ride down there tomorrow. Say, incidentally, does that real estate agent want to purchase the ranch for himself?
Oh, no. He hasn't enough money. He's representing someone else on this deal.
Oh, who?
He won't tell me. Just calls up every few days and tries to get me to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Rather nasty about it lately. Said if I didn't sell, I'd be sorry.
Oh. I think I'll go down and have a talk with him first thing in the morning. What's his name?
Ed Jinks. I think you can turn in now, Kent. Fire's dying out.
Yeah, looks like it.
Hey, men, better round up those horses and put them in the corral.
The following morning, before Lois and Jimmy awaken, Kent, in a car borrowed from Graham, pulls up before the real estate office of Ed Jinks.
Mr. Jenks?
Yes?
I want to talk about some real estate.
Oh, real estate?
Uh-huh.
I don't usually get clients early. Come right in.
Thanks.
Now, Mr.
Kent. Clark Kent.
Oh, Mr. Kent. What you interested in? Ranch land or town property?
Why, ranch land, Mr. Jenks. Specifically, the Bar O Ranch.
What? What's that you say?
The Bar O, Steve Graham's ranch.
Ain't for sale.
Well, then, Mr. Jenks, why are you trying to buy it?
Me? I the Barro? Fiddlesticks.
I happen to know that you've made repeated offers to Mr. Graham.
That's none of your business.
It is my business, Mr. Jenks. You're trying to buy the ranch for someone else. Who is it?
That's my affair.
Not anymore, it isn't. Now, Mr. Jenks, I don't think you'd be very happy in jail.
What are you talking about?
Jail, Mr. Jenks, jail. Where you're going, unless you talk.
I ain't done nothing.
There have been a number of strange accidents around the Bar O. Last night there was a fire, a suspicious fire.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We have evidence, Mr. Jenks. You threatened Steve Graham when he refused to sell the Bar O.
It wasn't me. If anything wrong happened, it was him. He did it. I'm not to blame for what he did.
Who, Mr. Jenks? Who?
I don't know.
Oh, then why did you say he did it?
And he told me he had ways of making Graham sell if he refused to take the offer.
You still haven't told me his name.
Honest, I don't know his name. I never met him.
Well, if you never met him, how do you come to be acting as his agent?
I got a registered letter one day with a wad of money inside for my fee. The letter tells me to make this offer for the Bar O and not to take no for an answer. Since then, he keeps calling me up on the phone and telling me to keep after Graham.
Do you recognize the man's voice?
No, no, it's muffled like. You've got to believe me, you've got to. I don't know him from Adam.
The best way you can get me to believe you is to help me find out who this man is.
Well, I will, but I... Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Hello, Jenks. I guess you know who this is.
Yes, it's about the Bar O.
Yeah. Listen, Jenks, I want you to...
Wait a minute. There's someone at the door.
Make it snappy.
It's him. Graham wants to buy the Bar O.
Oh. Wait. I've got an idea. You tell him you think you can close the deal with Graham right away. But you must have some money. And then arrange a meeting place with him.
What do you want me to do that for?
It's a trap, don't you see? When he shows up, we'll grab him.
Well, I get you. Hello?
About time you got back. Now listen, Jenks. I want you to get busy. If you can...
I ain't got great news for you, mister. It looks like Graham ready to sell.
Now you're talking. I knew he'd come around the old way things have been happening. What are the arrangements?
Well, I must have some money... I must have some money right away. Graham wants to see some cash in advance before he'll sign.
How can I get the money to you?
Well, I could meet you somewhere.
No. Stall Graham off. Tell him you'll have the cash in a day or two.
It can't be done. He's got to have it now. The deal will fall through if he don't get it today.
Tell him you'll meet him anywhere.
I can meet you anywhere, as you say.
All right. You know the deserted mine on the Bar O property?
Yes.
I'll meet you inside the mine shaft in an hour. Be careful. Make sure no one's following you.
I'll do that. I'll watch out.
Make sure you do. Bye.
He fell for it.
Oh, that's fine. All right, come on, Jenks. We're driving up to the old mine.
Good, good. We'll catch him.
Now, here. Here's my car. Get in. Hey, you all set?
Yes, sir.
Driving to the abandoned gold mine, Clark Kent and Ed Jenks enter the shaft through a creaking door which hangs from one rusted hinge.
It's dark as pitch in here, Mr. Kent.
Wait, I've got a flashlight. Yeah, here now.
That's better. Well, I guess all we can do now is wait. It's kind of exciting, ain't it?
Listen. Someone's coming. Hear that horse approaching?
Yes, sir. I guess he's on it, but he said an hour. It's only been 45 minutes. What happened to the light?
I don't want him to see me. If he calls out, don't let him know I'm here.
I won't.
Shh. It's coming closer.
I guess he's cutting off his horse.
Quiet. He's right outside the door.
Yes. Here he comes.
Well, it looks as if Clark Kent is going to find out who is so anxious to buy the Bar O Ranch and why. Who is the man walking into the trap? Is he responsible for the strange accidents, for the fire and the ghost car? Don't miss the next exciting episode. Tune in and follow the story with Superman.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
It's that.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
As he should. My best Stan Laurel. and not a good
yes.
one. But we got a good story here from The Adventures of Superman. two more episodes and lots more fun in between.
Yes.
You know, CW, Dave and I were talking about our early experiences with Superman. How did you first become aware of Superman? From something on television, a movie, a comic book?
I think it was probably television. I saw television, and some of the stations would show the Fleischer comics on television. I was quite, you know, looking back on them now, I'm sure they've been cleaned up, but for the time, they were excellent, excellent animation.
Oh, high quality art, high quality animation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were almost like 3D, those Fleischer brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Incredible. I mean, even now with digital, you'd have a hard time even competing with that. I mean, yeah, digital is great, but for the time, it was remarkable, absolutely remarkable. So I think that was probably my first exposure to it.
That's a good first introduction to Superman, to be sure. We've been introduced to Superman in many, many, many ways, including from some modern-day comedians.
We find Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for the Daily Planet, walking the streets when from out of nowhere a superhearing picks up a robbery.
Give me your dough.
Quickly dashes into the phone booth. Start to take his clothing off there. Quickly, a cop comes up. Yes?
What are you doing in the phone booth?
Yes. Right, and I'm going to give you a red S and a black eye if you don't come out of that phone.
And then we gave him Jell-O. Okay.
Yeah, I skipped over part of his routine there where he says, I'm changing my clothes, officer. You can't do that. No, look, I'm Superman. See, there's a red S. Now. I'll give you a red S and a black eye. You'll get out of there.
That's right.
Yes. Superman's just a guy running around in his blue and red pajamas. So.
Yeah.
You know, you Dale, you mentioned Superhost. Dare you mention Soul Man?
I forgot about Soul Man. Soul Man.
It was Big Chuck's version of Superman. He would take pills. He would run into a phone booth, take pills, and turn into Soul Man.
Yep. Very Superman. He was mild-mannered. I forget what was his mild-mannered.
Somebody Tarbush.
Oh, Ed Tarbush.
Ed Tarbush, yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I wish we had a recording of that one, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Dave, do we have any other quick features for this before we get back into our serial?
Well, you know what? How quick do you want it?
Baby, I love it when you talk dirty.
I'm sorry, I'm done.
I have my lasso right here, guys.
I do have a two-minute... I have a 2 minute 19 second bit. This is back in about 1980. We did a Superman interview back on the old Weirdness Radio.
Fire
right?
it up.
I can kind of plug that in. It's only 2 minutes. We're going to plug that in right here.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Hello, this is Milton in Metropolis on assignment for Weirdness. With me here is Clark Kent, better known as the Man of Steel, Superman. Good evening, Superman. How are you? I know you are a newspaper writer, but what would you really like to do?
So I want to be a paperback writer. Paperback writer.
When you begin investigating a case, where do you start?
I don't know.
What do you say to criminals just before you break into their secret headquarters?
Well, do you want me to break down the door? Break down.
Do you want me to break down the door? Break down the door. Superman, last week you reported you had a vision. What was it?
My dream does fly.
And where did you fly to?
In old New York.
And what did you do in New York City?
So we went down to the city zoo, just to kill an hour or two.
An hour.
How is it that some criminals get away from you? How do you feel when someone does escape?
Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit.
And as your final question, Superman, what do you think about retiring? This is Milton in Metropolis with Superman returning you to your program still in progress. Say, Superman, can I give you a lift home?
I'm afraid I can't wait. Clark Kent may need a plane, but Superman doesn't. Up with a window and out.
There he goes.
There he goes.
Off to fight crime, save humanity.
Outstanding. Up, up and away.
And now...
Wrong thing. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm shocked. Wonder Woman never had a radio show. Did Batman have a radio show? I think Batman had a radio show.
Yeah, and we... There was a short episode. One. Dave and I played an episode here, did we not, Dave?
Yeah. It was a pilot episode starring Arnold Moss as Batman, by the way, who's in this episode. Now, what they did do is they turned Batman, in order to get Bud Collier a little bit of time off upon occasion, they brought in Batman and Robin. They did some episodes of the Superman show so that Bud Collier could get a break, a vacation. So, because Superman is not something that took a break in the summertime. It kept going all the time.
Yeah. He was wildly popular, to say the least.
I keep talking to Gar because I think he's more familiar with those. We got to find those Batman episodes to share some of those Batman-Superman episodes here on Erie House Radio.
Yep. If it can be found, we're going to do what we can to bring it to you.
That's right.
Outstanding. Please do. Please do.
You got it. And
do we have another episode?
We do.
We do. We do. Two more for today. Episode part four coming up of The Ghost Car. We'll be back.
And now to our story. While investigating the strange series of accidents that have been plaguing the Barrow Ranch, Clark Kent learned that Ed Jenks, a local real estate agent, has been trying to buy the ranch from Steve Graham, its owner. Visiting Jenks, Kent learned the real estate agent had no idea whom he represented. His only contact with his client was an occasional mysterious phone call. It was during one of these calls, while Kent was present, that a trap was set to catch the unknown purchaser. As our story continues today, Kent and Jenks have a rendezvous at an old abandoned gold mine on Steve Graham's property. They are waiting anxiously for the arrival of the man whom Kent believes is responsible for the ghost car as well as the other unexplained accidents on the Barrow Ranch. As we join them, Kent is giving Ed Jenks a few last-minute instructions.
Now remember, if he calls out, don't let him know I'm here.
Don't worry, I won't.
Someone's coming. Quick, put out the light.
Okay.
He's just outside the door. Get ready. Here he comes.
Hello in there.
Now, Jenks, get it.
Right.
Hey, I saw him. Who are you?
What thing is for you?
Just in the flashlight. Well, who is he?
He'll know as soon as I roll him over.
Come on.
Oh, look at your face.
What? It's Steve Graham.
Well, Kent, if you're through mauling me, suppose you explain this.
I think the explanation should come from you, Mr. Graham.
From me? You seem to forget that I own this mine. It's on my property.
Well, you don't understand, Steve. Mr. Kent and I come
just
here...
Just a minute, Jenks. Well, Graham, I don't know why I should have to explain anything to you. But if you must know, I was out riding when I saw someone going into the mine. I've given strict orders for everyone to stay out of here. The supporting beams are old, and they may collapse at any time. Oh, I came over to see what was doing.
You just happened to be riding this way?
Yes. And now suppose you tell me what you're doing here.
Well, I told you yesterday I wanted to look the mine over.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yes, it looks as if we all kind of made a mistake.
Now, wait a second. That still doesn't explain what Ed Jenks
did. Mr. Jenks came along to show me how to get into the mine. You recall I went down to see him about the prospective purchaser.
Well, who is the party? Why does he want the ranch?
I ain't never seen him, Steve. I don't know him from Adam. I just talk to him on the phone sometimes.
That's strange. Now, but look here, Kent. How can you be sure this man, Ed's client, whoever he is, caused all the accidents?
I'm not sure. But he's been awfully anxious to buy the ranch.
Well, that's just it. The ranch isn't worth the risks he's taking.
How about this mine? Are you sure it's worthless?
Positive. It was played out 30 years ago.
That's right. I used to work here.
The mine did pay once.
Sure, but the vein of gold was exhausted. There's nothing left now but scattered streaks of color. The only gold here would cost more to take out than it's worth.
Just the same, I want to look it over.
I wouldn't stay here if I were you, Kent.
Why not?
Well, I told you, some of the beams are rotten. The whole shaft may collapse.
Oh, it seemed pretty solid. I'll look around for a while.
You won't find a thing.
Well, maybe not, but it's worth a look.
Well, it's up to you. You're risking your life, not mine.
I don't think it's that serious.
Well, I'm going. You coming, Jenks?
No, I think I'll stay with Mr. Kent. Been a long time since I've been here. I'd kind of like to look the old place over again.
Very well. Goodbye.
See you later, Graham. Sorry I jumped on you the way I did.
There's no harm done. Be careful.
We will. All right, Jenks, let's go.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad Mr. Graham come along when he did. He must have scared away the fellow we're waiting for.
Yeah, I suppose he did.
Well, can't help it now. Hey, Mr. Kent, what you looking for down here?
Wish I knew. There's something on this property someone's mighty anxious to get. And this mine looks like the best bet to me.
No, this mine ain't worth nothing.
Well, I still want to look around. How far does this shaft we're following go?
About a mile or so, twists in and out. It used to be some job in the old days, pushing a cart along here.
Is that what you did?
Yep. I'd take an empty cart down to where the men were digging, fill it up, then push it up again, right past where we're walking now.
That's all.
You should have been here then, Mr. Kent. Rocky Point was some town. Nothing like it is now.
Real mining town, eh? Lots of excitement?
Sure was. Yeah, it's all gone now. Well, can't say I got cause to complain, though. I do all right in real estate business.
Hey, James. What's this?
Huh? Oh, that's nothing. Just a part of the wall caved in. Rainwater seeps through and weakens it. Someday the whole business will come down, I reckon.
Now, wait a second, Jenks.
You find something?
Yes.
What?
Here, look. Look at this piece of ore.
Hey, wait. Get the light on it.
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
Oh, it ain't gold ore. That much I'll tell you.
I wasn't thinking of gold.
Well, this stuff's worthless. Might as well chuck it away.
No, wait. No, don't do that.
I ain't no mineralogist, Mr. Kent, but I know enough to tell you this ain't worth a cent.
Oh, never mind. I want it.
Okay, here it is. I can't see what you want it for.
Not sure, but I think I've seen ore like this before.
Yeah?
Yeah, the trouble is I can't remember just what it is. It's in the back of my mind, but I can't recall.
Well, if you ask me, I think you're wasting your time down here.
What was it I saw ore like this?
Well, it's just like trying to remember a man's name. There it is right on the tip of your tongue. You can't get it off. Yeah, most die trying to remember a name sometimes.
Just the way I feel now.
Yeah, it might come back to you.
Maybe. Anyway, I'm taking this ore with me.
Might it, huh? Bet it don't have no gold in it.
Probably not. I'm going to have it analyzed anyway.
All right. You know, it's a funny thing. I reckon I changed since I was a kid, but this old mine gives me the creeps now. Any objection to going back?
No. Oh, we may as well.
Yeah, too bad you didn't find nothing.
I've got a hunch I have found something.
No, you'll see tonight.
Shh, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
I hear something.
You don't hear nothing.
Yes, I'm sure of it. Let's go further along the tunnel.
You're hearing things, Mr. Kent.
No, there's something going on up ahead. Come on.
Okay, I'll go along with you, but I can't hear nothing.
Hurry.
Not so fast. I ain't as young as you are.
Wait. There.
Do you hear it now?
Hear what?
Sort of tapping noise.
Your ears must be better than mine. I can't... Wait. I reckon you're right. Yes, sir, I do hear it.
Come on.
Yeah, sounds like someone hammering.
We'll know in a minute.
It must be just around that turn.
Who's there?
Well, it's a woman.
Lois, what in the world are you doing here?
Oh, I might have known you'd show up sooner or later.
You ought to know better than to come to a place like this alone. It's dangerous.
Oh, so you think you're going to leave me back at the ranch while you follow all the leads?
Oh, no.
Now, listen to me, Clark Kent. I know a good clue when I see it.
What are you talking about?
First, don't you think it might be gentlemanly to introduce me?
Oh, sorry. Mr. Jenks, this is Miss Lane.
How do you do?
Howdy, ma'am.
Hello, Lois, what are you doing here?
Well, Jimmy and I were supposed to go riding, but he decided that he wanted to practice his trick roping. So I went alone. I'd heard about this old mine, and it seemed to me to be a good reason why someone might be anxious to get possession of the Barrow Ranch.
Say, you rode here? Oh, funny, we didn't see your horse outside.
You didn't?
No.
Well, I let them in front of the door.
I reckon you don't know Western horses they use here, miss. You're going to bring the range over their head if you want them to stay put.
I didn't know that. You suppose he's lost?
Oh, no. He'll get back to the range, all right.
That's good.
Well, Lois, what did your clue chasing uncover?
Plenty. Look at what I just chipped off the side of the tunnel.
Say.
What do you think of that?
Jenks, I thought you said this mine was worked out.
Sure it is. What you got there?
Gold. That's what he's got there, Mr. Jenks.
Here, let me see that. I don't blame you for thinking it's gold.
Well, isn't it? Look at those streaks of yellow.
That don't mean nothing. This ain't gold. It's iron pyrites. Fool's gold, they call it. Looks like gold to most folks, but it ain't worth nothing.
You sure?
No doubt about it. I've seen plenty of this stuff in my time.
Oh, dear.
Well, don't be too disappointed, Lois.
I was sure I'd found the solution.
Well, don't you worry. We'll find out who's back of all the trouble we've been having.
Mr. Kent, don't you think we'd better start back?
Yes, I guess so. Come on, Lois.
Okay. By the way, what are you two doing here?
Oh, we tried to spring a trap. It didn't catch anything.
A trap?
Yes. Jenks here has been representing the man who's been trying to buy the Bar O. We tried to lure him to the mine, but he didn't show up.
Mr. Graham must have scared him away when he came along.
That's a shame. If you'd gotten him...
Yes, might have solved everything.
But still, look. What's happening to my light? Sort of flickering.
Battery's probably going dead.
I noticed it wasn't giving much light before.
Won't last much longer now. See? Dead.
Yeah. Good thing we found you, miss. Nasty business being down here in the dark.
I don't even want to think about it. I'll be glad when I'm out of here. How much further do we have to go?
Not much. Just around the next bend.
What's that noise?
Say, I don't like this. Come on, let's hurry.
What is it?
I don't want to say unless it's so. Hurry.
Hold on to my arm, Lois.
Get back against the wall.
Look. The entrance.
Oh, just what I'm afraid of. It's a landslide. It's from the entrance.
Clark!
God, sorry. Crimson broke the flashlight.
Clark, where are you?
Here I am, Lois.
How can we get out of here?
Jake, is there another entrance?
I never heard of one. Tell her one.
So we're trapped. We'll die here. We're buried in lava.
Lois, get hold of yourself. This is no time for hysterics. Now, don't worry. We'll get out.
We'll suffocate down
no,
here.
No, we won't.
There's no air.
But he's right, Kent.
We'll dig our way out.
With our bare hands. Clark. Oh, Clark. There's no use trying to fool me. I know it as well as you do. This mine is our tomb.
In pitch blackness, Clark Kent, Lois, and Jenks are sealed beneath the ground. The only exit blocked by tons of rock and earth. Only the great strength of Superman can dig a path through this barrier of fallen stone. But how can Kent rescue his companions without revealing the secret of his double identity? Don't miss the next exciting episode. Tune in and follow the story with Superman.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Magazine, mind you. Some people get upset when you call them comic books.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they comic books?
Yeah, they were. They're comic books.
Oh, okay.
But it was a comic magazine, if you
want to get Tech.
Magazine. Was that meant it was bigger than that, or they weren't stuck by comic codes or something?
No, they were stuck by the comic code when it came out in the 50s, late 50s, early 60s. Thank you, Doctor. What's his face? That lousy, dirty.
Yes. Yes, there aren't enough words that can be edited in or out to describe how many comics and comic stories were ruined by that so-and-so.
Dr. Wortham wrote a book called Seduction of the Innocent. He felt that reading comic books led to criminal behavior. Outrageous.
Ridiculous.
Oh, totally destroyed EC Comics. Totally destroyed.
Probably there were some more smaller comic presses that were kicked to the curb as well because of that nonsense.
Absolutely. Many jobs were lost. But, Superman keeps things going. And, in fact, here's a little interesting old-time radio bit regarding Superman with some amazing characters portraying.
Up in the sky! Look, it's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Superman!
Superman! Superman! The guy with the terrific muscle, Superman, Superman. His blood is one big red corpuscle, Superman, Superman. He's always in perfect condition. No sniffles, no sneezes, no germs, no diseases. What a man, what a man, what a man. Superman, Superman. He's virtuous, handsome, and able. Superman, Superman. A mixture of Samson and Gable. Superman, Superman. It's strange, but he isn't romantic. He'd much rather shoulder a 50-ton boulder. What a man, what a man, what a man. His costume is simple but daring. Superman, Superman. No intricate clothes is he wearing. Superman, Superman. His problem of dressing is easy. No spenders, no buttons, no zippers, no nothings. What a man, what a man, what a man. Superman, Superman. No bullet is made that can scratch him. Superman, Superman. Just show him a crook and he'll catch him. Superman, Superman. Compared to him, Popeye is puny. He doesn't need spinach to fight to the finish. What a man, Superman.
That's Freddie Schnickelfritz Fischer. From 1941.
Cool.
Dave, did we ever do that command performance with Bob Hope as Superman? Did we ever do that one?
We did it. No, I know we did Bing Crosby as Dick Tracy, but I don't know if we did Bob Hope as Superman.
There's a command performance out there from 1946. And Bela Lugosi is the evil scientist, and Sterling Holloway.
Oh,
did it too.
Yeah, you know what?
And the King Sisters, and Paulette Goddard.
Yeah, we'll have to pull that out, and even if we did, it wouldn't hurt to play that again.
It could make a two-hour show.
Oh, wow.
Make a two-hour show tomorrow, too. But I digress.
Oh, no. Really?
We could.
We only have three episodes.
Really?
We don't have that much stuff.
No, not tonight. Not tonight. To make it a two-hour show tomorrow. We could just slap on that Superman with Bob Hope.
Oh, was that a full half hour?
26 minutes, 18 seconds, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like we're going to have a two-hour show tomorrow, then. Woohoo!
How about that?
Oh, my.
Look at that. Ooh. See what we do for you on the fly? That's the kind of guys
Absolutely.
We are.
It's just
organized.
For you fine
no.
folks.
<I'm kidding. laughs> No, sometimes Dave and I get inspired as we go.
Yeah, we've been uploading things all night long here. Yes.
Yeah, we're quote unquote entertaining you.
Most tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell that person down the street you can't stand.
That's right. And I will check it for quality and then chop it in half. There you go.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
For tomorrow. Got my super scissors ready for that. And,
yeah, you're
going to
need that. You know,
here to... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Kryptonite tip on it. Yeah, kryptonite tip on it.
There must be some bargain store that has kryptonite. Everybody had, especially Lex Luthor, but sooner or later, everybody got some
no
kind
kidding.
Of kryptonite.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, yeah.
They?
What was it? JCPenney had kryptonite, buy one, get one 50% off or something?
No, it was mail-in from Acme.
Oh, Acme. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the mail order. They were big. They were up there with Sears. There was some guy somewhere out west, I think he lived in the desert, that brought them a lot of business.
Holy cow. Acme.
Yeah.
Acme, Sears, Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah, I can't picture the coyote ordering from Abercrombie and Fitch, but whatever. 2023, anything can happen. And does.
And does.
But the good news is we got old stuff here, including our final episode for tonight, episode 5 of 8. The ghost car from
Superman.
Well,
you know, Dale, before we do that, perhaps we should do a public service announcement.
Fire away.
Uh-oh, young Tommy is smoking a cigarette, creating his own smog cloud. Tommy ducks a bat. Tommy smokes because he thinks it makes him look grown up. But watch what smoking does for him. That coughing is one thing. It keeps him from playing his best.
You're out!
Don't smoke. It doesn't make you grown up. It makes you a loser.
Thanks. Thanks, Superman. I feel really good about myself now.
So if you want to bolster your self-esteem...
Yeah. Mine has been shot to Hades in a handbasket. It's like it's Superman. How do you argue? You know, you just you can't and you don't.
Yeah.
Good old Bob has got to delay his show for a half an hour so he doesn't have to miss either our show or his. I don't know. He's got his audience locked in. I would not dare to ask something like that myself.
No, but we will. You can always come back and finish hearing this in the archive, along with our other hundreds and hundreds of shows.
That's right.
Indeed.
In fact, it's time to start over from the beginning. Get going. We'll wait. No, we won't. We're going on to part 5 of The Ghost Car from Superman.
And now to our story. Certain that the unknown man who has been secretly trying to purchase the Barrow Ranch is responsible for the ghost car accident, Clark Kent and Ed Jenks, the real estate agent, set a trap to catch him. But the attempt to lure the mysterious stranger to an abandoned gold mine failed when Steve Graham, the ranch owner, came in on them unexpectedly. Graham warned them not to stay in the mine, but Kent and Jenks decided to explore the main tunnel. Tracing the source of a strange tapping noise, they found Lois Lane investigating the mine on her own hook. Suddenly, an ominous rumble echoed through the tunnel. Hurrying to the exit, they found that a cave-in had blocked it with tons of rock and debris. With their only flashlight broken, Kent, Lois, and Jenks are imprisoned in the pitch-black depths of the mine with no possible means of escape.
We'll suffocate down here. There's no air.
She's right, Mr. Kent.
Don't worry. We'll get out somehow.
How can we? Clark. Oh, Clark, there's no use trying to fool me. This mine is our tomb.
Oh, nonsense.
I can't stand this darkness.
Take it easy, Lois.
Mr. Kent, we're in a tough spot. There's no other exit from this tunnel.
Are you sure?
Dead certain.
Well, then we'll just have to start digging.
Well, how? With our bare hands?
Say, wait a minute. I just remembered something.
What?
That tool shed down the tunnel away where it branches off.
Yes.
There's a chance we might find some old picks or shovels there.
Well, can you find your way in the dark?
I reckon so. If I keep my left hand on this wall for direction.
All right, we'll go with you. Lois, keep behind Jenks. I'll follow you.
All right. Suppose we don't find any tools when we get there. What then?
Let's not worry about that until we have to. Say, Jenks, isn't that the branch of the tunnel off to the right?
Yeah, should be about here.
How can you see when it's so dark? I can't see my hand in front of my face.
Well, I didn't see it. I felt a draft coming from that direction.
Draft?
Yes.
No draft down here.
I'm not so sure, Jenks. You go ahead with Miss Lane. I'm going to explore this other tunnel.
Clark, you mustn't. You'll get lost.
I'll be all right.
Please don't leave us.
Don't worry, Lois. Now, you two go ahead.
Sure. He'll be safe enough, Miss. Come on.
I'll see you in a little while. Now that I'm alone, I don't have to pretend I can't see in the dark.
Let's see what Superman can do about getting out of this mine. I'm going back to the cave-in. Now, let me look this over. If I push this big boulder out of the way, we can get out of here easily enough. Well, I'd better work fast before they return. All I have to do is get my shoulder under the corner of the boulder and heave. There, it's moving. Once more. That does it. Plenty of room to get out now. Oh, here they come.
Clark,
better remember I'm Clark
Kent.
Where
are you, Clark?
Here I am, Lois.
Oh, we couldn't. Look, Light. There's an opening.
Well, I'll be jiggered.
We're free. Oh, let's get out of here. Come on, don't stand there gaping. We're free.
I told you we'd get out.
Oh, it's good to see the sun again and breathe some fresh air. But Clark, how in the world did this boulder move? You didn't do it, did you?
Well, it looks harder than it really was.
Yeah, shucks, man. That boulder weighs a couple of tons.
Yes, I know, but it just happened to be balanced very delicately. Luckily, I was able to roll it out of the way.
Oh, I'll say it was lucky. Come on, let's get away from this place.
No, wait a second. I want to see if I can find out what caused that cave-in.
Well, Steve Graham warned us the timbers are about ready to give. I guess that's what happened.
I wonder.
What else could it have been?
Well, there have been other mysterious accidents around here, you know.
Clark, you don't think someone actually caused the cave-in?
It's possible.
Well, how, Clark?
Well, now, let's see. A heavy beam supported the roof of the entrance. If that could have been pulled out of position... Let's take a look at it. Well, see that?
What?
What do you say to this, Jenks?
I don't see what you're referring to.
That mark around the beam.
I'll be jiggered. Looks like the mark from a rope.
Exactly.
I wish you two would stop being so mysterious. What are you talking about?
This mark is important, Lois. Someone must have looped a rope around the end of the beam and pulled it out of place.
Well, maybe Superman could have done it, but nobody else.
Any man could have done it if he had a horse.
That's right. He'd just wind t'other end of his rope round the pommel of his saddle and get the horse to do the pull-in.
Well, let's see about that. There should be some hoof prints around.
Here they are.
No, miss. Those prints are from a horse that was standing still. They want prints from a horse that was doing some hard pulling.
Here, look at this.
Sure enough. You see that, miss? Those prints are deep. Dirt's all dug up where the horse strained to get in the rope.
Yes, and that same strain must have left a pretty clear mark on the pommel of his saddle. Now, if we can find a saddle pommel with fresh rope marks on it, I think we'll be a long way toward solving this case. Let's get back to the ranch.
What about my horse?
He'll find his way to the bar, old man.
Yes, you better come along with us. Here we are. Horse. All right.
Well, now, what do you reckon pulled that there beam down, Mr. Kent?
I think we'll find out before very long. Well, here we go.
Back at the Bar O, Clark Kent, certain he is on the trail of whoever is responsible for creating panic through a series of mysterious accidents, engages Nelson Blaine, the ranch manager, in conversation.
When did you last see Mr. Graham, Blaine?
Graham?
Yes.
Oh, about an hour ago. He went off riding.
And he hasn't come back?
No, not that I know of.
You've known Graham for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, it's about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you ask, Mr. Kent?
Clark, what about the saddle?
Oh, just a minute, Lois. Blaine, someone has been causing accidents around here in an attempt to drive people away from the Bar O. Can you think of any reason why Graham would be doing that?
Well, I don't quite understand.
Mr. Kent is suggesting that Mr. Graham is responsible for the accident. Oh, I'm afraid it doesn't make sense, Clark.
I know it doesn't make sense, but there are a few points I'd like cleared up about Graham. First, he kept Jimmy from calling me. And he wasn't too gentle about it, either.
Well, he explained that. He just didn't want the story of the ghost car to get out.
Yes, that's what he said. And then he was at the deserted mine this morning.
Well, what of it?
Someone caved in the entrance and imprisoned us.
Good heavens, Mr. Kent. How did you get out?
Well, fortunately, I managed to dislodge a boulder.
If it weren't for that, we might have been there now, suffocating.
Well, surely you don't suspect Mr. Graham.
He was there just before it happened.
But, Clark, look, what would Mr. Graham have to gain by killing us?
Well, if I could figure that out, we'd have a good case against him.
I think you're on the wrong track, Mr. Kent.
Looks to me as if somebody wants to hurt Graham. Someone with a grudge, perhaps.
Do you know anyone, Blaine, who might have a grudge against Graham?
No, Mr. Kent. As far as I know, he hasn't an enemy in the world. Of course, there's the gaucho. But that's been cleared up.
Who's the gaucho?
You haven't met Alfredo, have you? Mr. Graham hired him as a sort of special attraction for the guests. He thought a real South American gaucho would be a novelty on a dude ranch.
Mr. Graham ever have any trouble with him?
Yes, but it wasn't much. You know how hot-tempered those Latins are. Well, Alfredo had a run-in with Graham about a month ago. But it's all been straightened out.
A month ago? And the first accident happened about 3 weeks ago.
That's right. Where is this gaucho now?
Oh, somewhere around the ranch.
I want to meet him, Blaine. And soon.
Well, certainly, Mr. Kent, but I'd like to caution you. Alfredo's a fine fellow, but he's pretty touchy sometimes.
Oh?
If I were you, I'd be very careful when you question him.
Why?
Well, he might lose his temper.
I think I can take care of myself.
Well, no doubt, but Alfredo's one of the best shots I've ever seen. Well, you see what I mean.
Mr. Blaine's right, Clark. You've got to be careful.
Don't you worry, Lois. I will be.
Hey. Say, that looks like Alfredo now, riding towards us.
Oh, good. Introduce us.
Okay. But remember what I told you. Hey, Alfredo.
Si, senor.
Hey, come over here, will you?
Si. Un momento.
Alfredo, I'd like you to meet two of our new guests. Miss Lane, Mr. Kent. This is Alfredo Marqueda. Our South American gaucho.
How do you do?
Senor.
How do you do?
Senorita, I am charmed to meet one so lovely as you.
Oh, thank you. Are all the gauchos so gallant?
Even a rough gaucho becomes, as you say, gallant when he has the honor to meet the lovely senorita.
Really? This is too much. I'm not used to such flattery.
Well, if you see enough of Alfredo, you'll get used to it.
That's quite a horse you have, Alfredo. Bring him with you from South America?
Si, senor. Blanco was raised in the Pampas.
Huh?
That is where the best horses in the world come from.
Looks as if you've been doing some hard riding.
When Alfredo is in the saddle, he rides hard. But Blanco does not mind.
He's a beauty. Will it be all right if I pet him? He won't mind, will he?
Blanco is a true son of South America, senorita. With the ladies, he is always gentle.
Oh, what a beautiful saddle.
Tell me, Alfredo, when you were riding, did you pass the old mine?
The mine, senor?
Yes.
Clark, just look at this saddle. It's simply magnificent.
Yes, very nice.
You haven't looked at it.
Yes, I did.
Come over here. It's worth seeing.
In a minute, Lois. I just want to have a few words with Alfredo.
You can talk to him later.
When the lady insists, a man can only give in, no?
Yeah, it looks that way. Excuse me, will you? I'll be back in a minute.
Go right ahead, senor.
All right, Lois. Now, what's so remarkable about this saddle?
I tend to admire it.
What?
Just look at the workmanship. Look at this, too.
Look at what? Yes, it is remarkable.
Look at the pommel. Those marks.
Pommel? Lois, you're right. Those are rope marks.
Same sort of marks we saw on the beam at the mine.
And they were made recently, too. Lois, this may be the break we've been waiting for.
Well, it looks as though Lois has found the first important clue to the mystery of the Bar O. Fresh rope marks on the pommel of Alfredo's saddle. Is the hot-tempered gaucho responsible for the accidents that have been plaguing the Dude Ranch? And how will he react when Kent accuses him? Don't miss the next revealing episode. Tune in and follow the story with Superman.
Don't forget, tune in again for the next thrilling episode with Superman.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
There you go. And that's where we're going to leave you hanging until tomorrow night as far as this serialized episodes of Superman from 1942 and the ghost car. Nice. Keep them on a cliffhanger here.
Always a cliffhanger. Always a cliffhanger.
Yep, and that'll be tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And
so
I'm sure we...
Sit down. I was going to say, everyone do what they're doing in the chat. Have a jiggered ham sandwich tonight.
Whatever the hell that means.
A what? A jiggered ham sandwich.
Yes. They said it in the episode, and good old Bob paraphrased it.
Ah, okay. Picked up on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Nom nom, fuck.
Nom nom.
Nom 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 nom.
Nom nom nom.
I think not. Oh. Do we have any other Superman stuff for tonight, Dave?
We do. Hang on. Let me see. Hang up here just a little bit. And, well, you know what? We got the big Bob Hope thing tomorrow. Why don't
that's going to be fun.
Why don't we
another song for you.
We got two more songs, but we got that Anderson Conway bit. If you think we could do that,
let's get away with that. Let's do that first.
Okay. Here comes.
We're very fortunate today. We're going to talk to one of the world's favorite heroes. We're going to talk to the Man of Steel, Superman. Of course, as you all know, the Man of Steel is in reality Clark Kent. Do you mind if I call you Clark?
Not at all. I'm mild-mannered.
When did you first find out that you were Superman?
When I was just a little boy. I used to get ready for bed at night. I'd take off all my clothes and fly away. I'd fly down to Cincinnati, St. Louis. One time I flew down to Dayton. Folks had to come down and get me. It took them 2 days by bus.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Could you tell us about one of your experiences in saving someone?
Well, yes. One time I was up in a building and I saw a woman down on the sidewalk. She was just about ready to get hit on the head with a big safe.
Yeah.
So I jumped out of the tall story window.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I broke both my arms and my legs, and I hurt my hip real bad. And then there was this other time I saw a guy out in the Hudson River drowning.
Yeah.
So I jumped off the old bridge, jumped in, got him, and just at that time a steamboat was coming towards us.
Yeah.
I put up my hands, stopped that boat.
See what happened?
I broke my other leg and re-hurt my hip and bruised my nose a lot.
Perhaps you could give us some sample of your remarkable strength. Do you still have to retain that remarkable strength today?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I'll tell you what, I could lift you up with one hand.
Sure, yeah.
But, all right. Here, let me just...
Okay.
Let me just try and lift you.
Go right ahead.
Now, let me just...
Oh, wait a minute. Would it help if I took off my shoes?
No, that's all right. Just leave me. I can get it. Don't worry. Don't push me. Could you take the change out of your pocket? Hey, I could have had it, you know.
Yeah, I know. But just all right.
I was wondering, too, if you could still fly.
Well, yeah, but just on weekends around the living room. A little bit. Take a little dip around the couch.
Tell me, how is Lois Lane?
She broke up.
Oh, you don't see her anymore?
No, she broke up.
Oh, I don't understand.
Well, we used to have this little act. We'd work out at fairs in the summertime, get a little extra money. Had a 200-foot tower, and she'd jump off it, and I'd catch her. And this one summer, she jumped off, and I missed her, so she broke up.
Yeah. Are you still able to do any of your remarkable tricks?
Well, sure, yeah. I still have all my strength and everything. As a matter of fact, I've got a gun right here. If you'd like to just kind of take a shot at me. It's only a .22, but just point it right at my chest and let me have it. Sure, just go right ahead. Just point it right at the old chest and I'll show you. Go ahead.
Just shoot it.
Go right ahead.
Right in the center of your chest.
Right.
Superman? Superman? Oh, my goodness. Gee. I got him right in the ass.
Right in there. There you go. Thank you, Gar. He sent us a digitized version of the album, and that's one of the cuts.
Yeah.
One thing that's really cool about this too is they did cut a couple of comedy albums, Tim Conway and Ernie Anderson. But what we didn't know till one of the Ghilardi Fests was they actually filmed it as well. They recorded it at the Bowling Green State University in Ohio. Now, that's where Tim Conway graduated from. And so they said, well, okay, we'll let you record it here, but our department gets to film it. And so it's filmed and archived when those two sat down and was doing their comedy album. And they showed that at a couple of different Ghilardi Fests. Yeah, very, very cool.
Great stuff, Dave.
That is wild stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy funny.
Crazy history and lots of Cleveland in there, as always. All roads lead.
From Cleveland,
roads lead.
To the mistake.
I'm not leaving. From Cleveland, yeah. They're always running away. But they're there. They're there.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You're right. We do have a couple songs in there, Dale, if you want to select one or the other.
Well, for this song, I probably ought to drop a coin in the slot there.
Okay, that works too.
Feel free.
Consider it your Christmas bonus, guys. Here we go.
All right.
What is it? Oh, God.
Here comes the enemy, blowing down blasts down anyway you get them.
Was it a bird?
No, no.
Was it a plane?
No, no.
Was it a buzzard?
No, no.
What was it?
Mr. Superman.
There you go. That was Stomp Gordon and his orchestra. Stomping away.
Good old Stomp Gordon. Good old Stomp Gordon.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
We will wrap up the Ghost Car tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern. And we're going to tack on that Bob Hope show from Command Performance. How about that?
Yeah, an interesting thing, and it probably could have been very much from a Bob Hope show, because most of the Command Performances were actually shows that were written for the individual, and they were kind of rewritten, rearranged for the Command Performance. That's why they were supposed to use the glass records, so that they would not be saved and would be broken. They just easily break over time. But so many of these did survive, and I'm so glad they did.
Indeed. Boy, Dave, I'm starting to feel like this is a radio version of our Superman special we did at the library with all these different features and different pieces.
This has been a lot of fun here.
And the fun ain't over. We got more tomorrow. And then, of course, Gar the Ghoul starts at 8, so there'll be a little half-hour crossover there. Sorry about that, Gar.
Perhaps.
Just get well. That's the important thing.
That's the important thing. That's what we keep telling them through our messages and through our phone calls that we have. Hey, most important thing is get well. Then get your butt back here on Erie House Radio where it belongs.
Yeah, I'm ready to start like voodoo rites or something to some kind of cure, you know.
Voodoo 101.
Voodoo 101 or something. White magic. I don't know. Whatever it takes.
Yes.
Absolutely. We'll do things under the next new moon.
Yeah.
Now, how do you guys feel about the newest batch of Superman movies? Of course, come much after the Christopher Reeve.
Well, the British guy, and I'm sorry, the guy who's doing The Witcher, and he's also in Enola Holmes, and I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry. But I like him. I do like him. Henry Cavill. Thank you. Ugh, that was terrible. It's Superman, The Witcher, Sherlock Holmes, and the Enola Holmes movies.
Mm. You know, I just got to think of Superman has had so many incarnations. Even on television is they had the not just all the cartoons and Superboy, but they had Smallville and they had Lois and Clark.
Smallville.
Isn't there another one that's running right now?
Yeah, I think so. They keep do so many crossovers because they're doing their best to try and match Marvel, albeit on the small screen versus the big screen. But they have Superman and Lois, and I think they're, if not
good,
married,
good stuff
almost
on TV.
Married.
We'll see you tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Okay.
There you go. A little chat fun there.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Back to the Supermans or the Supermen. There's also one on television where they're introducing Supergirl. Of course, you have Supergirl who had her own
Yes, she did. Yes.
Yes, a very good film.
Mm-hmm. But Smallville, I really liked because it really gave us more of insight into the arch enemy, Lex Luthor. That was really, really good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, Lex was a complex character.
Yeah, Lex was complex. But I like the way they delved into more. They got to his father, business dealings, this uncompromising hatred that he had for Superman.
Yep.
Just couldn't stand him.
Yeah, I mean, the best villains are fixated.
Most definitely. Fixated or pixelated. The Joker was totally pixelated.
Yes.
As well as fixated.
He was, but he was another great villain throughout the years in his many incarnations.
Oh, yes, multiple incarnations.
I have to remind me tomorrow to tell the story of the Death of Superman comic book. I got a little story to tell about that. So we saved
the one from
the
back in the 70s?
Back in the 90s. The Death of Superman. Yeah.
Yes, yes, I remember that. That was that really got a lot of people going a little bonkers when they did that.
Yeah.
You can't
kill
him. That's
kind of the stories I have to say about that. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
because,
a shame.
Because, they're going to kill off Superman. There will never be another Superman comic book. I better buy this. Never open it.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, that's the story for tomorrow.
Okay. We'll delve into that.
See you tomorrow. But, gentlemen, I must be away, but I will see you on the morrow.
Thanks for coming in tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. As I said, when Dale lost you, I didn't know if you'd be able to hop back on. So I knew Dale could handle it all
himself. You try and keep us away. You just try.
Yeah.
Hmm.
By hook, crook, or snook, we're going to run this show somehow. Into the ground if we're lucky.
Oh,
geez.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Most likely.
Okay. So, I don't know what the weather is supposed to be like in your part of the galaxy, but I don't know if it's going
to
storm,
rain. Supposed to
rain
shortly,
rain.
So I'm going to throw the collie out for one last visit to decorate the yard.
Okay. Hey, very good. Hopefully it will not snow. It may snow again. Who knows? I mean,
no.
So
I have none of that.
Bite your tongue.
Yeah, my garden's in. Stop that. My vegetable garden's
planted.
Did I just curse?
Did I just curse all of your greenery in the area of Cleveland and sundry areas?
Yep, and this dirty four-letter word you had there.
Yep.
Oh, my. Oh, dear. Well, with that being said, I'll leave you to it, and you might want to get your snow boots out.
Stop it.
Till tomorrow.
Stop it.
Mr. Durante, put your snow cap on. It's getting a little frosty out there.
She went there.
Good night. It's time to say goodnight. Aww, the ghost feeling a little winter chill.
What today, we've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
We the same, and
Good night.
Night already.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Mrs. Calabash? Wherever you are. You got back to in the snow. You just dropped to 29 degrees Fahrenheit.